thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy. Will T sick. Like he's sick.
Will T's on the IR.
He's on the IR, man. He says he's listening though.
I don't know for how long. He's day to day at this point. We'll keep you posted on his status.
We'll keep you definitely keep you posted. Cause you know how Will is. He's like an injury hit individual. He has that type of, like, if you're gonna look at like players like Darius Geis, who reportedly is gonna be out for maybe a game or game to four games, Will T has like an injury history when it came to sports. He would be labeled that guy.
Like a Jordan Reed?
Yeah, exactly. Like a Jordan Reed.
I don't know if that's fair. He does have a burst, though.
Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. And hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would normally say this, but obviously he's not in the building. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap.
That was good.
I know I tried, man. I tried for you, Ray. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins losing to the Philadelphia Eagles 32-27 at 8:20. It's Cowboys week. We'll preview the Skins Cowboys game. At 8:30, we'll make our week two NFL picks. At 8:40, we'll discuss if the Maryland Terps are the real deal. We'll have Cody Wilcox, the deputy managing editor for SB Nation's Testudo. I know it's going to mess that up times. Finally, at 8:50, we'll talk about a possible fight between Canelo Alvarez and Sergey Kovalev. Thank you, bro. All right. The Skins fell to the Eagles 32-27. Your game thoughts?
Well, we posed a question. I know we're going to go to it later on Facebook in reference to whose fault it was, basically. And, of course, the consensus has been the coaches.
Yeah, it has been.
All it took for me personally, as a guy that analyzes the team, and I'm somewhat of a fan of the Redskins, is
one
regular season game to really evaluate the talent.
Yeah.
This team on both sides of the football has the talent to win football games this year and to make a run in the playoffs. I'm serious when I say that. Mm. You can win the division. The Cowboys are expected to, but the Cowboys or the Eagles.
Or the Eagles, yeah, definitely.
The Cowboys, based on what I've seen, they're not much better than the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles, you had the Eagles. You were up on the Eagles. You showed in their house that you can compete with this team. Jonathan Allen going down hurt.
Yeah.
So you have the opportunity to do something this season. It comes down to coaching, especially the D coordinator.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we look at the defense, and I said this in the preseason, and we talked about it too on prior shows, Ray, that, you know, this team has the talent to do well defensively, but it's going to be all predicated on what Minuski does schematically with this team. They got no pressure against the Eagles offensive line. The Eagles offensive line is one of the better offensive lines of football, but they didn't try to manufacture pressure when Allen went down. So, like you said, Allen is important. So you lost one of your horses who I believe Allen last season had about eight sacks. That you're missing those eight sacks in this game against the Philadelphia Eagles, a guy who's capable of getting eight sacks, in the game against the Eagles. Why not find a way to create pressure?
Bro, we talked about this off air. It also hurt the run defense.
Mm-hmm.
In the second half, the Eagles obviously
gashed them.
They were able to run the football and they controlled the time of possession, which hurt because your offense had limited opportunities, and then you had a couple three and outs. You had the missed bomb to McLaurin.
Yeah, to McLaurin.
And you had the drop on the next play
to Paul Richardson. Paul Richardson, yeah.
If you can't sustain drives and your opponent is running the football, that hurts you. But as I was watching this defense, I said, man, Greg Williams was on the market and you did not get him.
Yeah.
A guy who's familiar with your franchise.
They tried, though. They tried. Mm-hmm.
So what went wrong? That's what I need to know.
And Greg, when he picked the Jets. They tried Greg. They tried Ty Bowles.
They tried. So they even extended the offer.
Yeah, they tried.
With maybe the same amount or even probably more money. He's like, nah, I'm not messing with
them. I'm not sure in terms of what the offer was or if they did offer him. But from what I've heard, they tried. They reached out to Greg Williams. They reached out to Ty Bowles.
Well, I don't want
to
spend too much time on Greg Williams, but like you said, you're not getting any pressure. And I talked to you about that all offseason. I said it last week. And there was somebody who reached out to our show and said, well, we got Kerrigan, and Kerrigan is all we need up front to get the pressure. But it's so much bigger than that.
Oh, it's so much bigger.
Schematically, as you saw, guys were in position, but they got beat deep because there was no pressure on the quarterback. Yeah. There was the first bomb to DeSean Jackson where he got the Carson Wentz got rid of that ball quickly.
Yeah.
But from that point on, he didn't get touched, and he was comfortable. And then he got Zach Ertz going. Mm. It just and Zach Ertz in the first half, he was non-existent. It's like, yeah, this is what you want.
He got yardage. I feel like he got – I call that garbage yardage at the end because I feel like the game was already over once the – like, I just feel like the game was already over once the Eagles imposed their will. It was almost to the point where you watched the movie, The Great White Hype, The Great White Hype.
Yeah.
All right. So when Roper got punched, when Cuz punched Roper, Roper was like, oh, what the F are you doing? And then it woke Roper up, and then all of a sudden Roper just, you know, knocked him out. I felt like that's what happened. The Skins went up 17-0. The Eagles are like, what? Like, what's going on? They hit the bomb. I think the bomb to D-Jax, like, set it off. Because when you said it was, he got the ball out quick. I actually differ. I think that.
On the first one?
Yeah, I thought he had too much time. It was 3rd and 10. It was 3rd and 10. You didn't bring any pressure. You let Carson Wentz maneuver in the pocket, had too much time, and he found D-Jax. My issue is, like, you know who you have. You know you had D-Jax. You already know what D-Jax is all about. You give Carson Wentz, a very good quarterback, time in the pocket, and you got DeSean Jackson, who has an opportunity to be – I don't care what cornerback it is. I don't care if it's Josh Norman. I don't care if it's Patrick Peterson. You give a guy like that much time – and you get DeSean Jackson that much time to run down the field, he's going to get open. And so you should have game planned better for DeSean. Like, you should got to bring pressure when you're dealing with those two entities and Carson Wentz and DeSean Jackson.
Okay, so on the flip side, you build a 17-point lead on the road.
Yeah.
But Adrian Peterson is in street clothes. This is when you want to run the football. This is when you
manage
the clock better. And this has been one of Jay Gruden's Achilles heel since he's been here, is clock management.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do like the fact that in ways they stayed aggressive, but you could not run the ball. This is not a game where you expect Darius Geist to have his breakout game.
Yeah.
This is essentially his rookie season.
Yeah.
So the offensive line, which doesn't have Trent Williams,
mm-hmm.
but is relatively healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Did not play in the second half. They didn't play their best game, but the first half they played fine. So if you can establish that run, then you can potentially hold the Eagles off a bit more than what you did, or you can possibly add points, even if it's a field goal, to you. You can pad that lead, and then you can potentially steal a game in your division on the road week one. But instead, you chose to rely on a guy who is coming off a major injury, who is a rookie, who has more learning to do, with an offensive line that
is lacking their leader.
Mm-hmm. And their best player, their only Pro Bowler.
Brandon Scherff made it 1 year.
Last season, did he make it? I thought Trent was the only Pro Bowler.
No, you're talking about after me in general. Oh, you're talking about from last year. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So,
yeah.
It was a setup for failure, in my opinion. And to me, that's what made the difference from an offensive standpoint. And again, that goes back to coaching. So, offense and defense, your head coach and your D coordinator, they have to be the ones that the blame is placed primarily on. You know, because I was looking at the assignments. We agreed off air that Monte Nicholson blew one assignment.
Really?
And that was it, the whole game. The tackling was decent.
In the first half.
In the second half, it wasn't. But I think they started to kind of give up.
They got tired. I agree. Once it got to a point, DeSean Jackson hit him with another bomb. I think once the Eagles took the lead, they already felt like, oh, snap, we're about to lose this. Once he hit that second bomb to take the lead, it was like, oh, snap, we're about to lose this.
So now you have to learn from that because, again, you don't want to go down 0-2 in your division moving on this week. But if there's anything you can take from this game is you need to dial up more pressure.
Yeah.
And you need to run the ball more effectively. Yeah. The same stuff we've been talking about. Also, you look at the tape, there are some missed opportunities on the field.
Yeah.
But you also have to recognize the positive aspects of this game, which obviously Terry McLaurin is a big one because he provides that deep threat that is lacked.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of a decade, I swear, outside of DeSean Jackson.
Yeah.
You didn't like Trey Quinn. I felt like he was decent. I was impressed also with Keenum.
I think he played a solid game.
Mm-hmm. A game that you very well could have won. I was about to say should have, but that's a stretch because you're on the road and you're playing against a strong Philly team.
No, Keenum, for most Redskin fans, if you're really being honest, surprised so many people. People thought Keenum may have struggled against the Eagles initially before the game. But once he played, and he played at such a high level, especially in the first half, I mean, you came up thinking, you know what? He's capable. And it shouldn't be, and to me, it shouldn't be any big surprise. When we look at Jay, we make as much as we bash Jay, me included, at the same time, when he deals with quarterbacks that can run a system, who are more passing oriented quarterbacks, they put up numbers in his system. You saw with Colt McCoy, who was a journeyman backup. You saw with Kirk Cousins, quarterbacks under Jay put up numbers.
The dope part about not being a Redskin fan is I can look at this team and say, wow, this team has potential to be good in the short term and long term. You have a pretty good stud receiver. You have a quarterback who's waiting in the wings. The Bama wall on defense. You have a young nucleus. You do. You have a young nucleus that you can build around on both sides of the football. It's like, dang. But, of course, our fan base, or this fan base in this area, is starving for a winner in this football team, which they haven't gotten that since 2012.
Really. All right. So, we posed this question on Facebook, Twitter, and your Facebook and Twitter, and you can also call us at 301-799-5407. What or who was to blame for the Skins' second half collapse? The coaches, the players, or the Eagles? On Facebook, Josh Kirby posted, coaching, there were absolutely no adjustments made during halftime. There needs to be accountability on Jay Gruden's part.
Gary Taylor simply said, coaches, no question. I totally agree. The players did their job. They were in position. You got to put your players in a better position to win.
Reggie McCall posted, just Mr. Jackson. He did the damage. Yeah, he did some serious damage. We talked about that.
You know what? But I don't think it was any personal vendetta. That's what
No.
He balls.
He balls.
He did this week one with Tampa last season.
Yeah, he doesn't. No, it's nothing personal. You got D-Jax. That's what it is.
You can't be mad at that. Mm-hmm. Sean Garner posted the Eagles. Come on now. That's generalizing. Yeah. And it's not 100% accurate because – as a team, they could have played better, to be real.
Who, the Eagles?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have played better in the first half. Sex, Travel, Sports, Food Podcast. That's my man Cornelius posted. Same thing every season, every game. Gruden and the coaching staff do not make adjustments well. The opposition figures the Skins out, adjust and beat that ass. Shaking my head. It's the MO of Jay's coaching regime, predictable outcome. I don't argue with that. I think Jay has a trend. There is a trend. You know, teams can adjust to whatever Jay's doing via on the offensive side of the ball and defensive side of the ball with Minuski. Teams get used to it. They adjust. This coaching staff tends to not adjust.
Why is that? That's what I want to know. Like, who could he consult to become a better, manager, so to speak?
I think he's just, you know, some coaches are stubborn. And they just believe in their program, believe in what they do.
Jim Zorn.
Yeah. And you know.
Takes you back to the
And also star. I think Skins fans here are spoiled. Either you watched it or you just heard about it from your parents or whatever.
Joe Gibbs.
You know, you hear about how you'll hear that, you know, Joe Gibbs made great halftime adjustments. You know, that used to be his thing. Joe Gibbs. This team would be totally different, in the second half. So either you saw it with Joe, you saw it as, you know, visually saw it growing up watching the Skins, or you heard it from your parents. So a lot of people can kind of harp on that. There are a lot of
– The Eagles had to adjust.
They had to, though. And you saw – into the urban sports scene. Ray, you mentioned it anyway, but when you heard news about AP not playing Sunday morning, what were your thoughts, though?
My initial thoughts were, wow, Jay Gruden really used him as a one-year rental. That's just
yes,
what it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My first-round draft pick was second round. Geis was first or second-round pick?
Second round.
He was an early-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. I'll say that much. He's injured. I need somebody who can step in. Who better than a proven all-pro running back, running back, future Hall of Famer than Adrian Peterson. He served us well in that 1 year, but I'm ready to move on. That was what initially went across my mind. You know what? I do have respect for Geis. I think he's very talented. I love the way he worked so hard to come back.
Me too.
Adrian Peterson has been mentoring him, which is great.
Yeah.
I think that's going to help him down the road, both in the sense of a recovery standpoint as well as just being a good back, seeing the field, reading defenses. But as I mentioned, was this the right move for Gase himself? As far as Adrian Peterson goes, it's messed up, but I was watching Undisputed earlier. Sorry to mention it, but Shannon Sharpe, who made a great point, he said Adrian Peterson right now, his financial situation with just where he is in his career and in his life, he has no choice but
to take it.
To live with it. And it sucks.
It sucks. But it's the truth, though. But, you know, unfortunately, like, Shannon Sharpe is kind of like biased though at the same time, though. Because he's the same dude that said that Adrian Peterson wouldn't be successful last season. And he was trying to carry that mantle for a while until he had to admit that AP did better than what he thought. I'm just saying, like, Shannon Sharpe is a whole – that's a different beast. Because he really argued that point, too.
Well, you know what? You were, like, one of the only people that said – first of all, you lobbied for him to be brought in.
Uh-huh.
And then
–
Happened. Like, it seemed like it happened the next day, and you were saying, okay, he's going to be successful. And I said, you have to wait and see. We don't know.
Yeah.
He's older.
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously not the guy he was, let's say, his rookie. All over the Bears week one. But – He's better than everything that they had last season.
Yeah, I'm not saying it like that. I'm just saying that some people, like, if he's balling, you would admit, right? Like, you would say, like,
Of course.
It would take you forever to admit to it. That's my point. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. But yeah, I just felt like when I heard the news, I was like, what is Jay doing? Is Jay trying to get fired? Like, just because, like, you got a kid that is just coming off an injury. You know, this is going to be his first full season.
Exactly.
He's, you know, and you got Adrian Peterson, like you mentioned, right? He had 1,000 yards last year with a decimated O-line, and basically this team relied on him. You want to put all the pressure on this young dude, knowing you got this beast over here that did damage for you last season against the Eagles.
What was your thoughts about the whole special teams?
I thought it was BS. I'm gonna tell you why I thought it was BS, because Robert Davis Jr. was a guy who played well on special teams, like played very well on special teams in preseason. When Jordan Reed was announced as, you know, as a guy who wasn't going to play on Sunday against the Eagles, they cut Robert Davis Jr. and put J.P. Holtz to play tight end, you know, as a third string tight end. If special teams was that important, and a guy in preseason who was an excellent gunner, was a guy that, you know, recovered 2 fumbles in the preseason. If it was that important, you wouldn't have cut him. If teams was that important to you, you wouldn't cut him.
Well, that's why I asked, because everyone that I've seen discuss this topic has said the same thing, basically. That was just a cover-up for Jay not really wanting Adrian Peterson on the team no more, on the roster.
That's what I feel. I feel like he didn't.
He had to find a reason.
Yeah.
I will say it sounded like he did communicate this effectively, though, to AP.
Oh, sure. I think so, too. You have to, though. You have to. You have to do something. You can't just make that, put that out the blue. You have to communicate that with AP, because it could have been much nastier. And now look at Gase. Now Gase is hurt. Reports that he hurt his MCL and he could miss a game or maybe 4 weeks.
Well, I can't necessarily say that's Jay's fault, because injuries happen. That's part of the game. It could have happened whether AP played or not. There's the question of, did he receive too much work too fast?
Yeah.
And I agree with that point, but he could have got injured at any point. This is where you got to trust your medical staff, and that's where some question marks
have. Exactly, bro. That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
This is probably why Trent Williams isn't there from what we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of questions. The coaches are the ones at this point that need to be held accountable, because, again, they're the ones that are putting together game plans. They're the ones that are supposed to be putting these players in position to win. And they've had ample time and opportunities to be able to do so. They are, I'm telling you, man, I don't think they're going to survive. If you lose this week, bro, you might see a complete overhaul very quickly.
Very quickly.
And I'm a Jay guy to some degree, because I felt as though he was one of those guys that he's a player's coach, so to speak. You know, he would go to bat for his guys, those who he likes. I like that about him, but as you mentioned earlier, he's stubborn, and that's going to be his downfall probably. But he has the talent to get this thing turned around, which is great.
Anyway, it's Skins Cowboys Week. We'll preview the game after the break. You listen to Urban Sports saying, for ages, you dig? Deuces. are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy, Will Tease Out. All right, the Skins have a hot Cowboys team coming to FedEx.
Hot,
man. You see what they did to the Giants. What are the keys for a Skins victory?
Well, let's start with the obvious. One is you got to dress Adrian Peterson.
I think he will be playing.
That's going to be critical.
Yeah, it seems like he will be playing.
Number two, you want to make sure you address your pass rushing situation, because Dak Prescott is a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. one that he gains confidence the more he's completing passes. And that's what you don't want. You don't want his confidence to be high. Mm-hmm. Because if so, he's gonna look like Randall out there. He's going to be making plays with his legs, mm-hmm. Passing on the run, and from the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And as we saw last season, I believe it was Thanksgiving, you get Amari Cooper going. Oh, it's going to be a long
one. Oh, yeah, Amari.
And this year, again, the tackling appears to be better.
Yeah.
But you also you appear to be stronger with Jimmy Moreland as part of that defensive backfield. I'm thinking that you get pressure early, you get a few sacks, you stuff Zeke. I think you got a chance.
Yeah, you got to put it. You got to stuff Zeke. You got to put it all on Dak's shoulders. But like Ray said, though, you
got
to put pressure on Dak. On Dak.
Got to.
And then also, you got to play a ball control game. I know that, you know, that was my game plan to beat the Eagles. But you got to have a ball control game. You got to try to establish Adrian Peterson. It's essential for Adrian Peterson to show out, though. You know, it's okay to say, yeah, you need to give Adrian Peterson the ball, but he has to produce with it. So, you know, it's essential for Adrian Peterson himself to play well for this team to win. Chris Thompson has to be utilized. It seems like it's a chance that Jordan Reed will be back, because they did cut J.P. Holt. So that indicates to me that they like the way Reed is progressing. So, if they can have a healthy Jordan Reed, Chris Thompson, and also Adrian Peterson, right? We've all mentioned the Terry McLaren as a guy that looks like he can be a guy that can stretch the field. That will allow Adrian Peterson to have running lanes too at the same time. So, you know, they're going to have to hold the football, win the time of possession, bring pressure, got to blitz. You got to blitz Dak. You can't let Dak be comfortable in the pocket. If they can do that, they have a good chance to win this game. They don't have this team doesn't have Carson Wentz, and they don't have DeSean Jackson. As good as I love Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is great, but that combination of Amari Cooper and Dak isn't DeSean Jackson and Carson Wentz.
With that being said, you have to get off the field on third down.
Yeah, they did a terrible job with that.
You have to get off the field on third down. If you do not, the Cowboys will sustain drives. And to me, this is just my observation of watching the Cowboys. The Cowboys aren't a team that's going to beat you deep.
They're not. They're not that type of team.
But if you let them dink and dunk you, get 15 yards, mm-hmm. 10 there, 8 there, they're going to march right downfield on you. But if you get off the field on third down, you give your chances. You give yourself an opportunity and a chance to win the game. Again, I expect Case Keenum to play well. I think he's going to be solid all season. I really do. Because of his experience. And also because of his ability to read defenses, get the ball out quickly. The offensive line, I'm hoping that they can keep him upright at least through three quarters. One thing that you're going to have to do as a team is you're going to have to play four quarters. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to make sure you tighten up all phases, including special teams. You don't want to get the Cowboys good field position, again, because of the style that they play. But your offensive line, you can hold up for most of the game in terms of pass protection. You give yourself an opportunity at home, your season opener at home, to win against another division rival. You don't want to go down 0-2 in division.
You don't.
That's the last thing I want to point out is a sense of urgency. And again, that starts with the coaching staff. Jay Gruden sometimes seems to not be able to motivate his guys, and that drives me nuts, especially in these big games.
It's all about motivating
your leader. Who is your leader right now?
Got to show emotion, man.
Josh Norman used to be that guy, but since he has not produced the same way, I feel like
he's never been a leader to me, like a leader.
Emotional leader. That's what I'm saying. He can get you hype.
But like a leader. Guy like Jonathan Allen,
when he was doing the tomahawk, doing the throw slash, that's what I'm talking about.
Like Jonathan Allen's like more of a leader to me, like a guy that people play for. They play for Jonathan Allen.
See, Swearinger was the leader, but now he's gone.
People like they really respond to Jonathan Allen. Real talk, though, they really respond to Jonathan Allen, but he's not going to play, so it's harder. He's not going to play.
Okay, now can Jonathan Allen motivate both sides of the ball? To me, that's something Josh Norman can do.
He can't motivate the offense. He motivated the defense. He never motivated the offense.
Okay, so what we're talking about now is there is no established leader. Jay has to be that guy to get his guys
ready. Well, I mean, just like football, like usually there's always one dude handles one side of the ball and another dude handles the other side of the ball. It's never like that defensive player motivates the offensive side or the offensive player motivates the defensive side. Unless you just bought like Vic, unless you got to do like I'm be real with you, like when Griffin was here, right? He excited both sides, so both of them play hard.
Drew Brees does,
yeah. But he think he excites the defense? Or you think he's the one? Absolutely. Think he's the reason?
Absolutely.
I don't know about that.
Because
I think
they know they got.
He's a baller though. That's a baller. Yeah. But that's the quarterback. You got excited even Andrew Luck, not because he's a rah-rah guy, but it's because Andrew Luck, you got that guy. He gonna get you hyped. You gonna believe that you can win. There so it's just
go.
Different.
You
but you're talking about like an emotional, you know what I mean? Like you're talking about
Tom Brady does it for his defense too.
Cause he's Tom Brady. That's my point.
Mahomes can do it.
He's Pat Mahomes. You get my point?
You're making your point because you said who can do both sides.
No. My point is that you unless you got that dude as a player, like that dude is a franchise. You're naming quarterbacks. Quarterbacks do that for everybody.
All right, well, that's my point. Then it relies on your coaches.
Yeah.
Like I'm an Atlanta fan. Dan Quinn, he motivates the guys. I'm not saying it always works.
But no, Dan Quinn is an aggressive dude. He does motivate.
Pete Carroll too. Come on, man.
Pete Carroll's like
that. That means you agree.
I agree. About. Pete Carroll joke is real. Like I ain't gonna lie. Pete Carroll is real because he motivates. It ain't even a Russ thing. Because we all saw how
the other group,
how Russ didn't motivate like Sherman. They were like carrying Russ back in the day. Pete Carroll motivates that squad. I'll give you that. Even you could say Richard Sherman and that whole Legion of Boom squad. That whole Legion of Boom squad kind of motivated the offense too. But Marshawn too though. Marshawn did both. They were hand in hand.
You're making my point.
No, not really. We're both making each other's point though. Real talk though. But it's all good.
The team needs to find an established leader, somebody who to motivate. Because if you do not come out with a sense of urgency in your home opener. I mean, last season was so bad. Josh Norman comes out and says, I'd rather play away from home.
It's the truth, though. That's the truth.
No, it wasn't the truth. You have to give the fans a reason to cheer. That's why they did not show up.
They played better in the road, man. I'm a player dude anyway. I'm always for the players, man. Fans are like kind of iffy at times. I'm consistent, though. I've always been that way.
Oh, my God.
You know I've always been that way.
This is bad. I don't like the karma. I've already sent Hakeem my picks. I picked the Redskins to win.
I did, too. Dude, I didn't send Hakeem my picks, but I didn't pick the Redskins
to win. Mine are set in stone already. So no, I could change it, though, but if I wanted to.
Yeah, anyway, you could, though. You ain't going to stop me from changing it.
The point is, dude, right now, I'm concerned if there's no established leader, there's nobody who can motivate guys to come out with a sense of urgency in a key pivotal divisional matchup in your season opener at home, dude. It worries me.
Man, all right, real quick before we go to break. Do you feel like FedEx will be mobbed by Cowboy fans?
Yes.
You think it'll be majority Cowboy fans?
This is an area where it's all about getting your money. They will sell their tickets quickly. Black and yellow Pittsburgh, green and yellow Green Bay. It turns into another field when certain teams come to town, and Dallas just happens to be one of them. However, if you come out with the right energy and you give your home fans a reason to cheer, they will drown out those Dallas fans. Trust me, I've lived it.
Check out
Calvin
early.
Hill will be in the building. He's going to be in the press box with you, bud. What you going to do? You going to suck up to him or you going to go at him?
Suck up to Calvin Hill?
Oh, yeah. I met Calvin Hill. That's what you said the first time you covered the rest.
Yeah, but I didn't suck up no Calvin Hill. I said
Calvin
I met him.
Shaw, all these guys.
I said I met them. I ain't say I sucked. I ain't suck up to him.
It's a joke, bro.
I know, man. Go ahead, man. You know what? Go ahead. I got Craig.
I've covered the rest of this Dallas game. You never come out like, yeah, all right. So I don't care who I see. It's all about, you know, watching these guys get a divisional win, though, against a rival.
Dude.
That this rivalry is actually being renewed because there's been some tight games over the years. And you beating Dak at home.
I know, but I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. It's a must win, though, bro. No, I'm with you.
Check out All Skins Everything, everybody.
Yeah. I mean, it's a must win, though. Shoot. Sorry, it's all good. No, but it's a must win. But
We
gotta go. Hey, we do. We're going to break though. We will make our week 2 NFL picks after the break. You listen to Urban Sports Save. Hey, just you dig. Deuces.
Never did. Never opportunity to touch paper. Pray you never see a young man shine. If not, put your head in the hole and put a hole in your head. You know? Tell me right now what you wanna do. 20 billboards in the city. Who the f*** is you? I look a little familiar, huh? Look at you. Look at it. Look at it. Yo. Tell me right now what you wanna do. 20 billboards in the city. Who the f*** is you? I DM all of you. 20 men to move. Quick to blow 100 keys. Yeah, that boy fool. Yeah, that boy fool. Yeah, that boy fool. Yeah, that boy fool. Oh, God. Yeah, that boy fool. Don't know my... So I squeeze him in the coop. Fascinated with a fortune and it came true.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Wally. That's me, my boy Ray Jeezy. Will T's out sick. Got SARS or something. Hey, make sure you check out our, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a weekly battle of NFL pick'em games with them. So make sure you check out their site. Here's what we did last week. Ray went 10-5. Will T and I went 9-6. Here are the records from the Football Garbage Time mob. Scott and Joanne went 12-3. Ryan went 11-4. Screw Ryan. Hakun Wong went 9-6. And George, who's in the same league that we're in terms of pick 'em, our pick 'em league, George went 11-4.
George went 11-4, yeah. Man. And what is the world coming to? George won a pick 'em challenge. That is crazy. We're messing up with the Detroit Lions. They blew that game.
Well, man, Detroit. Yeah, man. It was a tie, though. It's for everybody. Man, everybody got – no one got a pick out of that. What messed me up? Yeah, San Francisco, James threw that stupid pick six. That because they had momentum, and then James.
Momentum,
man. James. Will, did you see. You wanted to read something off real quick?
Well, I was looking at our Facebook comments. Tony Living, I hope you're listening. You're one of the many fans calling on Dwayne Haskins to start – at some point early in the season. I think you still got to give Case a chance. He played well week one. If you can beat Dallas at home, that pushes the Dwayne Haskins starting back.
I want him to sit, man. I just want him to sit. Yeah. Force him in. There's no need.
And that's what helped him at Ohio State, sitting back and watching.
Yeah.
Although I know he's watching Kyler Murray and he's looking like, man,
I could do this.
I need to be out there. But you got Daniel Jones, also NFC East quarterback, mm-hmm. who's watching when he's showing preseason. He's ready.
Yeah, he looks ready.
Wait, to be honest with you. Wait till your turn. Yeah. Just be patient.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to go down 0-2.
Look, man.
I agree with that point, guys.
Huh?
No, Tony Levin also said we cannot go down 0-2 because the percentage of the show, we're not going to make the playoffs. We're not going to be able to recover.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Haskins rejuvenating your team, I don't know if that's the case. But Robert Griffin, he was able to do it as a rookie.
Yeah.
So, hey.
Different system, though, but yeah.
It's not out the realm of possibility. I'm not saying that at all. But I feel as though you need to give Case some more time. He's been looking decent. Even in preseason, I felt like he was looking pretty good.
And game one was good for him. So,
absolutely. But it's time for picks, right?
Yeah, you know it. You good, man? All right, man. First game we have on tap, Bucks versus the Panthers.
I got the Panthers all day.
I got the Panthers as well. Skins, Cowboys, we both said the Skins, right?
We both got the Skins this week.
All right, Colts versus the Titans.
You know, I am a Colts defensive guy, and right now I'm scanning through my picks, and I do have Indy.
I have the Colts as well. Seahawks versus the Steelers.
I got Pittsburgh bouncing back.
I have the Steelers bouncing back as well. Bills versus the Giants. I think we all have the Bills.
Buffalo.
I have the Bills. Jaguars versus the Texans. They lost Nick Foles.
This was one of the tougher games to pick.
Really? You thought even when Nick Foles not be on the team?
Well, yeah, because their defense looked pretty good.
Uh-huh.
I know Kansas City's a juggernaut, but of course I got the Texans.
The Texans as well. Should have beat the North. They should have beat the Saints.
They
should have beat the Saints. Vikings versus the Packers.
I picked the Green Bay Packers.
I picked the Vikings.
Okay.
Chargers versus the Lions.
Looking around here. Like I said, yours is a different one.
I know, right? I got the NFL.com.
I got the Chargers.
Yeah, man. Phillip Rivers. You know my man is right.
Yeah, I know.
I got the Chargers.
Off our pick 'em list. That's the problem.
Why do I have – I had the Colts Chargers twice. Did I do this? Yeah, I must have missed one. All right. I don't know what that was. Niners versus the Bengals.
I got Cincinnati.
You got Cincinnati?
Yep.
Cardinals versus the Ravens.
Who did you pick?
Oh, sorry. My bad. I got the Bengals.
Okay. Cardinals versus the Ravens. That's easy. Baltimore. 295.
Chiefs versus the Raiders.
Chiefs.
I got the Chiefs. Yeah, I got the Chiefs as well. I said I got the Ravens, right, for the Cardinals. I have the Ravens.
Insane,
I got the Ravens. I got the Ravens. My bad. Saints versus the Rams. I have the Rams.
I have the Saints.
Bears versus the Broncos.
I have the Bears.
I have the Bears as well. Eagles versus the Falcons.
I got the Falcons.
I have the Eagles. I have the Eagles, man. Yeah. Browns versus the Jets.
I got Cleveland to bounce back, surprisingly.
I have the – who did I pick? I have the Jets.
Okay.
I have the Jets. I'm trying to make sure I have all of them picked out. All
right. Well, this is pretty good. We got a couple of differences.
Oh, let me see. I'm sorry. Patriots-Dolphins. That's the one I missed. Patriots-Dolphins.
No, Patriots. Nobody should even do that.
I have the Patriots.
I think I picked the Patriots to score the most this week.
Me too. I did.
And the Dolphins to score the least. It's crazy.
Let me read off Will T's picks. Will T picked – Will T's not here, but he didn't text me his picks. Will has the Panthers, the Titans, the Chargers, the Bills, the Ravens, the Patriots, the Cowboys, the Texans, the Steelers, the Niners, the Vikings, the Chiefs, the Saints, the Bears, the Eagles, and the Jets.
All right.
So, yeah. But we're going to talk Maryland Terps. Are the Maryland Terps football team the real deal? We'll have Cody Wilcox from SB Nation's Testudo. Did I say it right, Ray?
Testudo.
Yeah, there's. Thank you. Testudo. Testudo. There you go.
Testudo.
Times to discuss this after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports saying for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Fuck the system, I'm that nigga. Bend the law, cut the rules. I'm about to risk it all. I ain't got too much to lose. Y'all been eating long enough. It's my turn to cut the food. Pass the plate with my drink. This my day. Lucky you, lucky you too. Woo! Y'all gotta move. Y'all gotta move. Move. Give me some room, give me some room. Give me the juice. How about the coupe? How about the coupe? How about a shoot? Y'all gotta move, y'all gotta move. Give me the juice. Back on my bullets, my back to the wall. Turn my back on you all and you finish. Back to these bullets, it's back to the job. Put my mask out and all of you running. Back on my hood, it's just back to the pushing. He taxing, I'm actually pumping. Can't fuck with you rappers, you practically fucking. You might have went platinum, but that don't mean nothing. I'm actually buzzing this time. Straight out the kitchen, I told him the oven is mine. I do not fuck with you guys. If I don't kill you, just know you gon' suffer this time. I ain't no gangster, but I got some bangers, some chains and some blazing, a couple of nines. Choppers and jammies, a partridge, a petri. My 20s and Christmas was nothing but lies. I run at you hot like a sumo. They say I talk like a chulo. I live in Mars, I'm not Bruno. If you're my duck, call me Cujo. You play your cards, I reverse on you all, and I might just drop out like a uno. Calles de boca, my homa, they call it Obuto, and all of you culo. Never better to level up in the ghetto, looking for something I probably can never find now. Shit irrelevant, something to be.
We're back, the Urban Sports Scene, Ray and Wally in the building. Will T is out tonight.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I had to work this.
You supposed to catch the oop, man.
I know, man, but I had to work the system. You did, man. You lofted it up, but I had to kind of make sure things are situated. You know, I got to do. I got to be. You got to engineer. You know, whatever. What the Will T used to call me back in the day?
I don't remember.
I forgot too. Anyway, right now we have SB Nation's Testudo Times Deputy Managing. I did it right.
You struggled.
I know, Managing Editor Cody Wilcox on the line. What's going on, Cody?
Yeah, how you guys doing? I'm doing all right, you know. 2-0 is a good feeling around Maryland parts nowadays.
Hey, good to have you, man.
Definitely a pleasure to have you. So, I mean, how is it in College Park? Is the fan base hyped about this situation? The Terps are 2-0 and they're dominating.
Yeah, especially the students, man. Andy Costa, who's the sports Diamondback editor, sent a tweet out earlier today that said that 13,000 tickets have already been ordered for the Penn State game.
Mm.
And I believe the capacity is about 10,000. So students are very hyped about the team, you know, two games into the season.
Hey, Cody, obviously Loxley is a new hire. He's bringing a different feel to the program. They've put up a lot of points these first 2 weeks. But talk a lot about the defense and how the defense has improved and how this defense frequently at College Park puts out pro talent. You have guys in the league who are ex-Terpins and how this school doesn't get recognized for the defensive talent.
You know, they have a lot of playmakers on the mm-hmm. defense that, you know, really go unnoticed. I mean, Darnell Savage, You know, he's one of them in the first round of the Green Bay Packers that a lot of people saw as a sleeper pick. But, around these parts, if you watch Maryland football, if you, understand the game and watch it frequently, you know he's a playmaker. Right. And I got to give some credit out to, my deputy managing editor, Sean Montemore, and managing editor, Lila Bromberg, for helping me out, throughout the year. But we're noticing things about the defense, especially, Keandre Jones, the transfer from Ohio State. Mm. He's making plays, He's been doing great things, and he's just new to the system. But they've got a lot of playmakers on their defense, and everybody's really talking about their offense and how good they are. But, I mean, two games into the season, how many defenses can really say that they've allowed 20 total points?
Yeah, it's impressive. It is definitely impressive. So, Cody, I'm sorry I skipped over this, but can you let our listeners know about Testudo Times?
Yeah, so Testudo Times, like you referred, is an SB Nation site. And it's one of the top publications covering Maryland athletics. We cover field hockey, volleyball, men's and women's soccer for the fall, and every really Maryland sport. And then, like I said, I work on the football beat with my fellow deputy managing editor, Sean Montiel, and managing editor, Lila Bromberg. And, we just try to put out some great content about the team, some really good stories. So we put out a bunch of that stuff. So if you want to, check that out, you can Google search, Testudo Times, and check out some of our work.
So, which is another thing that I wanted to talk about, obviously, is a change of culture, right? The head coach, he came out of Alabama, but he had Maryland ties. Mike Locksley, what has he brought to this program in terms of a short sample size?
He's brought a lot. The first thing that jumps out to me with what he's brought to the, the program is, he really treats his team like a family. And he talks a lot about the family, and he's got the players to truly believe in his system and what he believes in. And, if you guys have played sports, you understand that when your coach has that genuine love and cares about, you and the success that you have, you play even harder and you do more than what's asked of you, and I think that's one of the major things he's done, a real family atmosphere. And obviously, Locksley's always been a great recruiter. He flipped, Nick Cross from Florida State to Maryland, even got Lance LeJean, the four-star quarterback out of Louisiana, but, I mean, another thing is he's been quite using a lot of players from the transfer portal. I mean, I mentioned Keandre Jones, who came from Ohio State, Shaq Smith from Clemson, and Tyler Mabee from Buffalo, and all have made impacts early on, but they really should, as the season goes on, and we'll definitely see that, but it really just seems like the players are happy. We were at training camp, we were waiting to see a little bit of practice, and you watch the players walk by, and they have some music, and they have the strength and conditioning coaches there, and they look excited to be there. They look amped up. They're ready to go, and right now the program looks to be in really good hands through 2 weeks of the college football season.
So with that being said, very quickly, are we now officially moved on from the DJ Durkin era?
It's tough to say. But I will say that Locksley's doing everything that, he can to bring a new culture in and like I said, to get players to buy in. But there was a lot that happened last season, and I know that Locksley's doing his best to bring what he thinks is best to the program this year.
All right, so the Terps have Temple next. They struggled against Temple the last couple of seasons. Well, actually, last season. Is this game a big statement game for the Terps, knowing what happened last season?
A little bit. I would say a little bit, yes. Obviously the Terps raised a couple eyebrows with their beat down of Howard, and then you beat Syracuse at home, but. The Terps are still getting a little bit more exposure. They're ranked 21st in the nation at the moment, and So it would be interesting to see how they respond to being ranked and getting that recognition. And actually, he said that, you know, today he understands that Temple's a good team, and it doesn't appear that they'll be taking, you know, the out lightly at all, and especially with the extra exposure. But I think, you know, the Terps, they bring in, they obviously lost 35-14, as you, you know, alluded to at home last year. And I think, you know, they kind of take that a little personally with this game, and it may give them a little bit extra motivation, even if they don't say it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they're playing in an NFL stadium. It's their first away game, and it should be interesting to see how they respond. Now, my prediction for the game, I made this earlier on our Test Studio Times podcast, so I'll stick with it, is I said 49-17 Terps.
Okay.
They have a little bit more veterans on the linebacker group, so it'll be interesting to see how they line up and play with, you know, Anthony McFarland and Maryland's deep running back group there.
So before we let you go, let our listeners, you know how they can catch you on social media, and also tell us about your podcast as well.
Yeah, so my social media, you can follow me at Cody_Wilcox15, and like I said, I work with Deputy Managing Editor Sean Montiel and Managing Editor Lila Bromberg, and you can find them on social media along with, you know, our Test Studio Times page. But yeah, so our podcast today, it should be dropping tomorrow morning, pretty much just talk about the Temple game a little bit more in depth, a couple different maybe players to watch. We go over what happened this past weekend, and, you know, Syracuse's defensive line was all the hype, and Maryland's offensive line kind of seemed to set the tempo for them. But we have that, that'll be posted on our site tomorrow. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can find that. Also, if you follow me on Twitter, I'll be tweeting it out tomorrow. But yeah, it'll definitely be dropping tomorrow morning.
Sounds good, man. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Hopefully this won't be your last appearance on the Urban Sports Scene. So you're now part of the family, brother.
All right. Well, thank you all for having me on. I really appreciate, you know, talking some Maryland football with you. And if you all ever need anything else, you know where to find me.
Oh, definitely. Thanks again. Thanks, Cody.
Yep. Take care, guys.
Take care.
So that was Cody Wilcox of the Studio Times. It's amazing that he mentioned his deputy editor or whatever so many times. Like, when you go on other shows, do you mention me that frequently?
I do, actually. No. I am loyal to my man Ray Jeezy and Will T. I'm like, when we talk about the Urban Sports Team, I never say it's my thing. I say that I got, you know, I'm one of three. I've always stated that. Yeah. So I make sure if I'm on another show, I make sure I mention Ray, Will T. all the time.
Sure.
It's the truth, though. Real people do real things, dog.
It's all good. Hey, when I was on WOL that morning, yeah, know, Super Bowl Sunday, I mentioned all three of us.
So I know you did. I know. I trust you, bro.
I hold us down. You know, the fact that nobody listened to it is another subject. But, you know, we about to talk boxing, and my man Armand Lee usually comes on to talk boxing. He's not coming on tonight.
I tried to get him on, too.
When you go on his show, you know, I definitely listen. So, I listen to his podcast from time to time. When I get the opportunity, he's always available, and he tweets it out. But, you know, we're going to talk about it, just you and I. And right now, I don't feel like this is the greatest boxing subject, for the simple fact that we know Canelo's going to give.
Yeah, he's going to punish him. Work. But still, though, but it's a good thing to talk about.
The real fight's coming up, PBC.
Oh, yeah, we can't wait, though.
The 28th of
this month. 2 weeks. We got time to talk about that, right?
Errol Spence?
Yeah, we got time to talk about that one, though. We got like 2 weeks to talk about that.
I'm looking forward to just recovering from the whole Manny Pacquiao debacle, because I felt like you just trolled me too much that fight.
No, we're going to go to break. You listen to her. But Asia, so she think.
Don't turn my mic off, either. Hey.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed, this that I got realness. I just killed, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA.
my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy.
I got trolled. I got epically trolled after that fight, and that's not fair.
How did you get trolled, man?
Dude, the text messages, and you was like, I'm right about boxing like 90% of the time.
Oh, I was. Oh yeah, I was arrogant. I was real arrogant with that.
About that fight. Then immediately after he got knocked down, you tweeted out, I told you he didn't want that smoke. Like, I was like, oh, man, he's going to kill me. I was like, nobody was really rooting for Thurman, or at least I wasn't rooting for Thurman. I was rooting against Pacquiao, just like my man Derek Dawg Matthews. He's just simply rooting against Sean Porter. He doesn't like his style of fighting. I think Pacquiao is great, but it's time to move on from this era of Pacquiao Mayweather.
Pacquiao Mayweather survives. People still want to see it, man. I mean, I want to see it when everybody's healthy. I want no excuses. I want to see both of them go at it. But we were cheated, man. We didn't get to see them in their prime, man, go against each other.
We were absolutely
cheated. So
we're
cheated
now. I mean,
we are. We're still being cheated.
Especially with Tank moving up. So that Tevin Farmer fight is not going to happen. And Gary Russell fight is not going to happen.
We knew it was not going. We knew that was going to happen, though. Gary kept it 100 with
we
us.
We knew Manny Pacquiao wasn't going to happen.
What you mean? You mean back then?
Yeah.
We knew. Oh yeah.
Testing that Mayweather.
Man, we knew that Mayweather wasn't trying to fight him either. It's a little bit of both.
Yeah,
it's a
little bit of both. But Mayweather didn't duck everybody like people think.
I didn't say he ducked everybody. I said the Pacquiao fight, he waited his time. Like, he waited his time. That was my thing. It wasn't about. I'm not the person who says that Mayweather ducks people, because Mayweather fought Canelo and I thought that was a dangerous fight. A young Canelo, and he beat Canelo. I thought that was dangerous.
I didn't at the time, because again, he's the GOAT. And
he ain't the GOAT. Ali's the GOAT. Ain't no GOAT. How you gonna call him the GOAT? He ain't been Ali. He's our GOAT though. You mean? I like Sugar Ray.
We never really got a chance to see.
I know. I didn't. I'm just saying it just
our,
to be
of our lifetime.
Man, you know who's my GOAT? It's not Mayweather though.
Ooh.
It's Iron Mike, man. It's always been my goat.
Okay.
I call pre-jail Iron Mike.
Again, I'm not gonna argue with that. I'm just saying Mayweather. When you really watch his fights, when you really go back and watch his fights, I should say, I think you can appreciate how great he was.
Oh, he was. I mean, Mayweather's amazing. I'm pro Mayweather. I think Mayweather really is the best boxer in terms of our. I guess in terms of our generation.
The way he could figure you out, like the second Maidana fight, there was no chance.
He's the best.
No chance.
Yeah, he's the best boxer of our generation. I don't, even as much as I like Pacquiao, I don't think Pacquiao is better than Mayweather. I'm pro Pacquiao, but he's not better than Mayweather.
So this fight, Canelo Alvarez.
November 2nd.
Moving up in weight.
Yeah.
Well.
November 2nd.
Is it scheduled yet? Is it actually?
It's finalizing. They're finalizing it. They're finalizing it.
Kovalev, is that the fight you wanted to see?
Is that the fight that I want to see for Canelo?
Yeah.
No.
Who did you want to see Canelo fight?
Triple G again. There's so many people that Canelo can actually fight that I would be entertained to watch. I think Triple G fight is it. They've all been close. They've all been competitive. I wouldn't mind seeing it. I don't think it's a good business move for Canelo to fight Triple G. I think if you're Canelo, you should be done with Triple G anyway. But if you're talking about being a fan, yeah, I would love to see Canelo Triple G. I think the Kovalev fight does bring something interesting, though. I think if Canelo does beat Kovalev, does it open the door for Andre Ward to say, I want to come back in retirement? He's moving up. I think I would love
to see Canelo. That'd be great. I wanted Canelo fight Callum Smith. That's the fight I wanted.
You want to see
it? Yeah, because I feel as though the outcome is so obvious in this one.
Yeah, it's obvious. It's Canelo.
I think Canelo beats him thoroughly. Yeah. I do love Canelo's versatility.
I love Canelo, man.
Go up and down.
I love Canelo.
You don't think the Callum Smith fight was good? You just looked at me like, okay.
No, it's fine. I think Canelo. I mean, I think highly of Canelo. I just think Canelo is pound for pound of today's boxers. Arguably, I think Canelo is the best boxer. Arguably, I think he's up there. I think we all talk about Earl. We all talk about Bud. We talk about Lomachenko. But I don't think Canelo gets enough respect. I think Canelo, like you said, Ray, he'll go up and down. He's the biggest money maker. He goes up and down. He gives you the fight that you want. He don't dodge anybody.
He fought multiple times a year.
Like, it's wild, because initially that's what Canelo was deemed to be the dude, right? He lost to Mayweather, and it took a little bit of a sizzle away, but he was still like marketable, right? But now since we got into this, this era of Bud and And Earl, like, not everybody thinks these individuals are the best boxers in the game. And I'm not knocking them. You know, I think Earl is up there pound for pound. I think, you know, I think Bud is up there pound for pound. I think Lomachenko is the most, like, one of the more skilled boxers I've ever seen in a long time.
But I need to see him fight a couple other guys.
Who, Lomachenko? Yeah, you want to, it's like Lomachenko to me has that whole, even though you knew Roy was that dude, but he has that type of aura.
He needs to fight Mikey Garcia.
I would like him to fight Mikey.
Or I would even take
Tank. But Mikey's trying to fight, but Mikey's not even trying to do that anymore. Mikey's still trying to stay at welterweight, and he's trying to fight Danny Garcia. So I don't even know when Mikey, like, I think Mikey's better off trying to fight Lomachenko. I'm with you. I think he's better off trying to fight Lomachenko.
At 135.
Yeah, I'm with you, bro. I'm not going to even argue that. I'm with you. I think for Canelo, I think this is a good fight. I think people are looking at Kovalev like, all right, man, Canelo's going to wipe the floor with Kovalev. But I do think there's potential for Kovalev to make it semi-competitive. There's potential. Because Kovalev, you know,
I fear that he, if it goes into the later rounds, he cannot.
Oh, he don't got the stamina.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. See, James Kirkland was probably the hardest punching guy that Canelo has fought, right?
Yeah.
Now, again, I do like Kovalev's power. I think he could actually hurt Canelo. Mm-hmm. But Canelo, just like he did Kirkland, I think he has the potential to get
Kovalev out of there early. He didn't get him out
and
of there.
And if it goes past the seventh round, again, that bodes well for Canelo. He's the younger fighter. He's the stronger fighter. He's the more skilled fighter.
And he'll walk you, man. Canelo will walk you. He's so, not scared, man.
That's
He's
what I'm saying.
Not
I just, scared. I just don't. I don't see Canelo getting knocked out, and I don't see him losing by decision. I cannot fathom a way outside of maybe an injury seeing Canelo lose.
I do want to see Canelo, but I don't think Canelo would want to fight Andre. I would love to see that fight though. Though again, it goes back. Canelo's not a scared dude though. He is not a scared dude.
That would be a dangerous fight for Andre Ward coming out of retirement, bro.
Yeah.
His first fight.
It is.
I wouldn't do it. I would have a tune-up fight first. And because he's got to lose weight. He's walking around at 200 pounds plus right now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's not out of shape. He's still fit, but he's at least 15 pounds heavier than he was in his fighting days. And then you're going to come out, you're going to drop the weight, and you're going to fight Canelo? No way. Mm. Now, you're trying to get that man hurt, bro. And he's smarter than that.
I'm just saying. You don't need money. I just feel like to fight Kovalev, it's kind of weird to me. He's fighting Kovalev next. Like Canelo's fighting Kovalev.
That's why he should have fought Callum Smith. Somebody who is younger, who is actually gaining momentum in his career.
I think he's going for draws, though, man. I think, like, I mean, money draws. Oh. I think Canelo's going for money draws, I mean, man.
It is a business. The Zone gave him all that money. You got to do what the people, or you got to give the fights that the people want to see.
Yeah, it's interesting. I want to know what Canelo's going to do next, because I'm with you, Ray. I expect Canelo to beat the brakes off of Kovalev. I'm talking all this junk, but I do expect Canelo to beat the brakes off of Kovalev, because again, I have so much respect for Canelo. I think he's one of the better boxers in the game. So,
well, at least Kovalev's going to go out and get his money.
Yeah,
because Triple G would have been a great draw. It would have been good business for the Zone too, but Canelo was not interested in the same fight again. Mm-hmm. And then controversy after, you know, yet another Triple G fan. His fans always say, oh, he won both fights, or he got robbed. Now, the first fight, I definitely think there's a case to say that maybe he got robbed. But the second fight, I think Canelo clearly won that fight.
Oh, me too. I think Canelo clearly won the second fight. But anyway, this has been a great show.
Absolutely.
Man, my man Ray Jeezy in the building. We're supposed to have the full roster. But again, the homie was sick.
We'll see.
You know what I'm saying? Well. On the IL. So hopefully he's back next week. But again, man, we appreciate you all for listening. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces, A Mega. Lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag. Pledge allegiance to the swag.